Pakistan is on the edge of something. The chronic chaos and unrest has erupted in violence in Pakistan's largest city, Karachi. The Pakistani version of the Taliban have managed to shut down the international airport twice this week. Today, insurgents, possibly with no Taliban affiliation, attacked an airport training facility. The Pakistani military is fighting back 2 days after the five-hour siege and gun battle at the airport that killed dozens of people. The army has launched a deadly assault in the tribal area bordering Afghanistan, killing at least 15 militants. Declan Walsh joins me now. He's the Pakistan bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Declan, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi there.
So how serious is this attack, and is it a threat to Karachi or the national government?
Well, not as serious, certainly, as the attack on Sunday. It seems to be a relatively minor incident. Gunmen approached a security barrier just at the gates of a training facility just beside Karachi Airport this morning. They engaged the soldiers who were at the checkpost with fire, but nobody was hurt. And then the gunmen fled into an adjoining slum. So certainly nothing near as dramatic as the scenes in Karachi on Sunday evening when gunmen entered the airport facility and started a gunfight that went on through the night. But it has resulted again in the closure of the airport. That's Pakistan's largest airport, right in the center of the country's biggest city. So it certainly is having an impact.
Is there any sense that this is the beginning of an offensive against facilities in Pakistan, Karachi being just the beginning?
Well, it's important to say that in this latest attack, we don't know who the gunmen are, but obviously most suspicions are pointing to the Pakistani Taliban. And if you look at the recent attacks by the Pakistani Taliban in major cities like Karachi, there's a very strong sense that there is an escalation going on both sides, really. The government had been trying to engage the Taliban in peace talks since about February. That effort has pretty much effectively collapsed by now. And we are seeing on both sides attacks by both military and militants.
And again, the distinction between the Afghan Taliban and the Pakistani Taliban would suggest there's not a question of the Taliban deciding that it's actually more fertile ground for their movement inside Pakistan. These are two separate dynamics here.
That's right. Yeah, they are related organizations in that many members of the Pakistani Taliban had fought with the Afghans, particularly during the 1990s. But right now they're seen as being quite distinctive and they have separate goals. The Afghan Taliban aim to come to power in Kabul. The Pakistani Taliban aim to overthrow the government in Islamabad and to impose Sharia law on the country.
If we look more broadly in South Asia with the election of Mr. Modi in India and the historic invitation of the civilian leadership of Pakistan to the inauguration celebrations, I'm wondering if there's a sense that the civilian leadership in Pakistan is under some threat and vulnerability and needs to project its power right now, and the Taliban is trying to mess that up.
The civilian administration, you know, wants to reach some sort of resolution with the Taliban that doesn't involve a military operation in the tribal belt along the Afghan border. But their hand is being forced. The Taliban had a leadership split just a couple of weeks ago that made it appear that the movement was suddenly very weak. And then now they've come back with this attack on Sunday and perhaps another attack this morning to show that they're very much, if you like, alive and kicking. And in the political sense, this does leave the government, Nawaz Sharif as the prime minister, it leaves his government sort of politically vulnerable. It's a very uncertain time. And, you know, the election of Mr. Modi in India adds another factor to that, because, of course, Mr. Modi is certainly in Pakistan seen as a Hindu hardliner, someone who would potentially be aggressive towards Pakistan if, a new dispute were to erupt between the two countries. So it all, in Pakistani terms, adds to the sense of uncertainty into the country, you know, on the political front, on the military front, and in dealing with the Taliban.
In a situation like this, does the civilian leadership grant more autonomy to the military? Does the military take more autonomy in dealing with the Pakistani Taliban? And does that complicate the political situation going forward?
It is difficult. There have been tensions between civilian and military leaders in recent months over just that, over how to deal with the Taliban. Mr. Sharif's government very much favors trying to reach a negotiated settlement, but the military seems to have been losing patience. They started military operations just a couple of weeks ago in the tribal belt. So there is a sense that the country's leaders are not entirely on the same page on this front yet. And, you know, their hand is being forced by these Taliban attacks.
And so far, everything is confined to Karachi. There's no sense that something's likely to happen in Islamabad or Peshawar.
Well, the violence at the moment is concentrated both in Karachi and hundreds of miles away in the tribal belt along the Afghan border. There have been attacks in recent months in Islamabad, in the capital, and that is always the danger when the Taliban start to assert themselves. One thing that they've shown in recent years is how their web of influence and supporters extends across the country. They have sleeper cells in many cities, and they may be, you know, they have shown in the past that they can activate people to carry out attacks against a wide variety of targets, civilian and military.
Declan Walsh is Pakistan bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of The New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.